Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. Everybody back. Everybody had a good weekend. I had asked Rock earlier, because she likes to do a recap too on Monday, and I had asked her what she had done. And at first you said, oh, I didn't really do anything. But then you went with Nicole, your friend, and met her family, which was nice.
So. Yeah, it was lots of fun just to meet them and see where she comes from.
Did they like you?
I hope so.
Okay.
And then...
They're like, she's not... That's not a good friend for you.
Right.
You're going to laugh at there?
And then went to go see my parents on Saturday.
How are Mom and Pa Kettle doing? They good?
They're doing great.
Good.
And then went to a game night. And
oh, yeah. You had mentioned that.
Some friends.
Yeah. So what game did you play?
Telestrations.
What is that?
Oh,
one?
You posted about that.
What is that?
You draw. It's kind of like the Pictionary? Game telephone.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you whisper something to someone, you pass it down, and it gets all messed up. This is like you pick a word and you draw it, then you pass it to the next person. They have to
guess the word.
Guess the word. Then they pass it, and that person has to draw that
one.
Word.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
There's some game we used to play when we would all get together where you held up a card on your head. And you were looking for other people that had the same card. I can't remember what that is. It's just anarchy, because you're acting out. Or no, you're looking at your card and you're acting out what it is, like jockey, and you're trying to look for other people doing that same action, and you're just yelling at each other. And then when you find it, you grab their cards. That's a great like. You have to have outgoing people to do that game, because like introverts get crushed. Yeah, introverts get crushed in that game. They just get run over.
But that's what's great about telestrations. Doesn't matter if you're extroverted or introverted. Yeah. Everybody likes it.
Well, there you go. That's good. Yeah. Gavin, did you work on any pre-house stuff as you're getting ready to move?
Only on like the mental side of things. We bought something that I'm going to go pick up today, and then we did start kind of we're getting some furniture from Haley's, mamaw. I don't know.
Sure.
If this, they're like related by blood, but she's mamaw. So we're getting some furniture from her. A king size bed.
Oh, that's nice.
Which
nice.
I'm excited about and hoping that it fits in the room.
Oh, I thought you meant you. I think you can be fine, Gavin. I think you can be all right.
I'm excited about that because Ellie does jump in bed with us, and sometimes that results in me having a lot less foot space.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not strong-willed enough to kick her out because she's super cute. So a king size will help with that.
I fought the king size for years and finally gave in, and it actually is pretty nice. Like the cat has more room.
Exactly.
You know,
why did
sleep
you fight
on my
against
head.
It?
I didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like king size beds are expensive, and I was fine, but I just I waited till it was time to change our mattress, because they say about every 8 to 10 years, and like I didn't want to buy one and then just be like, oh, we're not using this anymore, because the dumb things are just expensive. But I'm glad. It was a good decision, I think, ultimately. Let's get into some of the stuff we didn't get into
today.
What'd
you do?
I did like house projects, but really late. I decided very late to start them. Like originally I was going to be like, okay, well, I'll see if I have paint to paint this door. And then I'm like, oh, I do have paint. And, I'm going to take my door off and start it. But then it's like, it needs two coats and it takes 20 minutes between each coat to dry. Ooh. And we had dinner plans. Mm-hmm. And my wife was like, you're starting this at 3:30 in the afternoon, huh? I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. And I've worked it out. And I did the same thing on Sunday with another project with the beams in my house. So I just wanted to get stuff done, and we had done other things.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to work on those projects, and so I'm like, well, I'm starting them late, but I got them done. This is kind of interesting. There's a high school in Florida, and I believe it's probably like a Christian private school, but they made headlines this year for regarding their dress code, and they had the girls do their yearbook photos, but they edited the photos without their consent. And so you think, what, did they edit them to like look thinner or something like that? So you're like, wait, what did they do to this? Mm-hmm. But as you get into it, the schools, what they did was they digitally altered the things to make the girls' outfits conform to the school's code of conduct. So if girls were wearing off-the-shoulder shirts, which is in their code of conduct, you can't do, they like did a bad Photoshop job and put like shoulders on them.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
I saw the pictures. Yeah. And I don't see why they're angry about it. Like, I think that was the right move. It's the rules of the school. And if you don't go by that, well, then we're going to make the adjustments that we need.
When you sign up for a private school, you sign up for a bunch of rules. And if you don't like those rules, then you don't go there. It's okay. Like, that's the rules. So you know I'm going in. You know what the code of conduct is. But they're trying to make this, like, sexist, too. Like, this is the other part of it. They're like, well, the girls are the ones that they're really coming down on. Because guys don't dress up. Guys don't care. Guys aren't trying to look flattering. Guys, like, you're wearing a polo, which is in, like, guys weren't wearing sleeveless t-shirts. If they had worn sleeveless t-shirts, they would have been out of dress code. The guys happen to be more in dress code, you know. And like, I went to a private Christian school, and the worst we would always do was like our hair would be too long, or we'd have jewelry that was out of dress code. I would anyway. See, it started all the way back there, you know. And so boys had to wear pants and slacks. Your boxers couldn't be visible. Mustaches and beards need to be neatly trimmed. That would have been nice to be able to grow a mustache or a beard in high school. Didn't have that option. And then it says revealing clothing, pajamas not acceptable. So the girls, revealing clothing not acceptable, no pajamas. Same rule with like your undergarments. They can't be showing, like, you know, like kids wearing low rise pants and stuff. Tops and shirts must cover the entire shoulder. Okay, there you go. Midriff and cutoffs, nope, you can't wear those. Extremely short skirts, not allowed. Skirts must be no shorter than 4 inches above the knee. You probably had that rule at your school, didn't you?
Oh, yes. We could only wear skirts and dresses. Yeah. And the slits, if you had them, couldn't go above the knee.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very difficult because I drove my dad's 4x4 truck at the time, and I would rip them off.
Yeah. But like the girls at my school, they would test, like, you'd have to get down on your knees, and then you had a ruler, and if the skirt was higher than what the ruler said, then you got a violation and stuff. So like, none of this surprised anybody, but I think I'm really surprised is like the parents or the critics of this saying, I think it sends a message that our girls should be ashamed of their growing bodies, and I think it's a horrible message to send out to these young girls about these changes. No, if you're wearing a top that's revealing, like, and you're going to a private school where that is a modesty is the thing that you're, you know, extolling, then that's not shaming. That's having modesty, and that's okay. Like, being modest does not equate and saying, hey, you need to cover up. It does not mean you're shaming somebody for their, that's, again, we take everything into this world that we're shaming people when, you know what, there are rules. And if you don't like it, don't go there.
Now, I will say this. I feel like there are more rules for girls to follow in private schools than guys. I could be wrong about that.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's possible.
Because I remember back in my day, that sounds old, that the guys couldn't have any facial hair. Their side burns couldn't go past their ears. They had to wear a belt.
Yep.
And their shirt had to be tucked in.
Yep. Had to wear khakis, had to wear a collared shirt.
Ours could wear jeans.
Right.
But
okay.
We couldn't.
So we had to wear, you know, collar. We had to wear like pants, dress pants. But the girls would, like, really, what is theirs? Their skirt couldn't be too short. had to wear the same, like the same dress code. Like you had to wear a certain shoe. Guys had to wear a certain shoe. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there weren't any like other restrictions that were like, oh, you can't wear makeup. Like that would be one. I'd be like, oh, well, that's kind of like something I wouldn't subscribe to. Mm-hmm. You know. So like, what other restrictions do you think the girls had?
Well, I mean, you think about it. It's just hard to find dresses and skirts even back then that were that fit to that
right
criteria.
Right. That's why we had a uniform spot, like
we didn't
provider.
Have, yeah,
see,
we didn't have that.
Yeah. See, that took all of the nebulousness out of it. The
that
uniform
would, that
provider
would be helpful.
That would be smarter.
Yeah. I mean, it took all of the debate out because it wasn't like you trying to make an American Eagle shirt work. It was like, no, these are the two shirts you have to choose from.
And that's what they should probably do for this school.
Yeah.
Is have a uniform.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that like parents are saying like arguing to be more. Less modest. Like, what in the world?
I got in trouble. I don't know if it was trouble, but I went to school. The one year I had to wear a uniform, I went to school, and the rule was you had to wear a belt, but I wore I wore suspenders one day.
Look at you, a rebel.
Because I was like, here we go.
These Santa Claus.
The point of a suspender is to keep your pants up. Yeah. That's the exact point. And then they came up, but I packed a belt just because I thought they'd say something.
Attaboy.
And they did say something. So I took my suspenders off. And
that's funny.
I was like, oh,
I got in trouble for... my shoe, the sole of my shoe had come apart and was flapping down. Mm. And so I took liquid paper and put teeth on it and a tongue. And then I took my belt off and put it around my ankle. And I was like walking myself like a dog down the thing and chasing people. So I got in trouble for that uniform violation.
That was probably a good call.
Worth it, though.
Yeah, that checks out. That's the kind of stuff I do. This was a story I saw Friday and didn't get a chance to get to. It was an interesting story. So the Chicago mayor is celebrating her 2-year anniversary of her inauguration, and she is a woman of color, and she shocked people when she said that she is only going to grant one-on-one interviews to journalists of color. You're like, wait.
You can't say that.
What? I know. Like
you can't say that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. She said she's disappointed or struck by the overwhelmingly white press corps in Chicago. So this is what she chose to do. Well, there was one reporter who was a Latino. She said, I would have said Latina, maybe errantly, but she said, I am a Latino. Chicago Tribune who had a request that was granted today. However, I asked the mayor's office to lift its condition on others, and when they said no, I respectfully canceled my interview, which I respect that. That's good. Because the thing is, man, racism can go both ways, and it's good, and it's not good either way. Like, it's just, it's not. So, I mean, you go, well, is this really racist? All you have to do, here's a test for you. You go, is this a racist thing? I don't know. You go, okay, if a white mayor said, hey, I'm only going to grant interviews to white reporters, what do you think happens? Mm-hmm. The world comes unglued, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's your test. That's your litmus test. That's racist. And we would all call that out as racist. So if a black mayor does the exact same thing in this world where we're trying to be fair with everybody, you have to call that the same way. That's the same call. You don't have a choice. Like, it has to be called the same way.
Is that what they're doing?
No. Oh. It's like, no, this is fine. This is what we do because they're underrepresented in the press corps. But it's like, is that underrepresentation because they were not, like, black reporters were not given a fair chance? Or in that area, are black reporters, that's not what they're doing. They're biology teachers or professors or doctors. They chose to do more of that. I don't know. But at the end of the day, this reeks of, like, trying so hard to make everything fair that it ends up making it A, unfair, and B, it also gives a racist twinge to it that no one's going to call out, though. That's the other thing. People aren't calling it out as hard as they should, but I was really struck by that, and my litmus test is just flip it around. If you can do it for another race, then you got a problem.
There's also, I feel like, a journalistic issue there in the sense that like she is choosing the people who are going to write about her.
Yep.
And if Trump had chosen only hardcore right reporters to interview him, then people would be screaming at him for
And people do that. Politicians do that in who they choose to call during press events. Like, I get that. You can do that. You can't ask you can't take everybody's question, but you'll take the ones that you like the person. So I understand that. And then Trump did. Every president has done that, where they've had their favorite reporters. But one of the reporters for this said politicians don't get to choose who covers them. And I thought, to your point, Gavin, that's exactly what they were feeling too. It's like, wait, that how do you have an unbiased a shot at having anything unbiased if you limit who can actually cover you and who can't. So there you go. All right, Lady Rock, let's get on to your stuff here. What do you got?
Everyone knows about Rick Astley and his one-hit wonder.
Have you ever been Rickrolled? This is the guy.
Desert you.
Well, this is all about making sure someone knows that you're never going to let them go. That they are everything to you.
Right. I'm never going to let you go. I'm just going to hold you forever.
Well, someone took it and made it he wants to give you up version.
Oh.
So they remixed the song, provided new lyrics. This is him singing it, but the song is called Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Tell a lie and hurt you. That's funny.
Gonna desert you.
I like that.
That's really great. Cool.
Boy, that's like a new breakup anthem. Like people can send that to you. Like, hey, I'm kind of done here and here's my parting shot.
Right? I'm a hot mess, so I'm going to give you up.
I love it. All right, we got some birthdays to get to today. I have one that I missed from the other day, and I'm really, really sorry for David. I said, hey, can I get a birthday shout out on the 20th? And I had it on my desk, and I had other things on top of it, and I failed. I failed David. This is 100% my fault. I have a question for the show. Have you ever had a sponsor in the past, after the fact, you thought, I can't believe we let them sponsor us? Bonus points if it wasn't for a real conversation. Actually, yeah, I'm surprised. Like, we had the MyPillow guy that was sponsoring us for a while. And I had people early on, because he got really uber political and was really aligned with Trump. And I had people asking me, well, how do you justify, because they didn't agree with him politically, how do you justify having him as a sponsor? And I'm like, his pillow. I sleep really nice on that pillow.
I still do.
And I like his pillow. I can separate the fact that he makes a pillow from his political stuff. I don't care about his political leanings at all. But I get the optics of it. Because again, when you align yourself with somebody or they sponsor your show, then people freak out and think that you agree with that. And I don't know enough even about his politics. I just hear the headlines that I wrote, but I liked his pillow, so I was like, okay, I'm good with that. But it ran its course. I remember one time we had a private investigation firm that advertised on our radio station, which was really interesting in a Christian radio network.
That.
Yeah, about like what was it? They had a slogan, when the truth needs proof. So yeah, talk
That's
about
good.
Like people running around on their spouses. I mean, again, you're right. Your well is right, Rock, that unfortunately we have divorces, we have infidelity, we have all the mess of the world in the church too, and there are people that need lawyers to work through a nasty divorce, and sometimes maybe even need the PI firm. But it was a real interesting message to try to navigate around having that on a Christian station.
Yeah. It's almost like that Miller's Thrillers.
Yes.
It's kind of like a haunted woods thing that happens around Halloween. But then he also has this like zombie shooting game, which is so much
fun. Zombie paintball.
But it was like, shoot at the moving targets.
Yeah. The word zombie never came up. And like, because it was, I mean, it's like a scary haunted woods thing. And so they were always like, family entertainment, be a little scared ish, like really downplayed that part of it. I went one night and it was, oh my gosh. My daughter and her friend, they were 16, they went with us. And I feel so bad. I pushed her friend in front of me so many times to protect myself.
What is wrong with you?
You gotta survive.
Like, she was enjoying it. I was terrified. And I'm like, God, take the girl.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun, though. It was a good night.
You are great. Not a gentleman.
No. Or a hero. Neither of those two things. I'm sorry. Now, you can do your birthdays now. Thank you, Lady Rock.
I've got one from Aaron to sister Lindsay. Happy birthday, Lindsay. Said Lindsay is a great sister, mom, and wife. She has been juggling working from home and raising her three-year-old during COVID and doing an amazing job. Said so glad she is my sister and one of my best friends. That's nice. So sweet. Jessica to Danny. Said Danny is the smartest kid we know. He cares deeply about the environment and about people.
Oh, wow.
In his 14 short years on this planet, he's already accomplished more than any grown-up we know. Wow.
Wow.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, there's some pretty accomplished grown-ups. There got people that have gone to the moon.
Mm-hmm. And then Wyatt wants to wish younger brother Matthew a happy birthday.
Oh, Brother Day.
Brother, like Matthew. He loves wolves, reading, and the Titanic.
Oh, wow.
The question is a would you rather question.
Okay.
Would you rather live on chocolate milk and Doritos mm-hmm. for the rest of your life or live on Mountain Dew and brownies?
Oh, Mountain Dew and brownies.
Why?
Because chocolate milk and Doritos does not sound like a good combination. And I chocolate milk is one of those things that it's weird when an adult orders it. Remember how Zach, who used to be on the show, used to always order chocolate milk when we go out places?
No.
He loved chocolate milk. Loved it. Mm. And he would splurge and get a chocolate milk every once in a while.
It is good.
Yeah. And Gavin likes it. But I just, yeah, that with Doritos would not be good. Mountain Dew.
Forever?
Like, I'm not even a big Mountain Dew fan, but I am a brownie fan.
I think I would choose Mountain Dew and brownies too.
Yeah.
I'm not a Coke drinker. I don't like carbonation, but I could water it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love brownies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been a fan of Doritos nor chocolate milk.
I have to be in the mood for Doritos.
Mm.
Yeah. Gavin?
I think I do the Doritos, or not the Doritos, the Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
That is my favorite soda. Haley just made brownies recently too, and I could see doing that forever.
So good.
And I'm pretty sure that's the more fattening option too.
Right? Probably.
Yeah.
And filling though.
Like just talking about this is making me like, why am I self-monitoring all of this like stupid stuff to like lose weight? Because
you got
to
get summer ready, right?
I got to get bikini ready, man. I got to.
Who are you trying to impress? Don't they say at some age you just don't care anymore?
Yeah, but like I'm trying to impress me. Like I don't care about anything else. Like it's not like, oh, I need to do this for other people. But like I didn't like the way my shirts fit. And so I had already bought enough oversized shirts that I'm like, yeah, let's go undersized me instead of oversized shirts. So I'm 12 pounds down, so that's good.
Pretty nice.
I think 6 weeks, 12 pounds, something like that.
So that's about 2 pounds a week?
Yeah, yeah. It's the average is good, I guess.
It is. It's a healthy weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
About you, Gavin? How much have you lost?
I'm still like hovering around. I've put on a couple more pounds because I just haven't tried in the last like few weeks. So I'm still at like about 11 or 12 for like the whole like year at this point.
Oh, so I feel better. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. I'm here to do that for you.
Come on. You're welcome. You're the best. All right. I think that is going to do it for our shenanigans. Oh, if you've already listened to the podcast, real quick side note, we were talking about where is Barlow Girl now? And so we still don't 100% know, but I had their dad, who used to be their manager, I had his phone number in my phone still, and I reached out to him today to see if his number was still good, and it was. And he got back to me. And then I asked him, I'm like, hey, would you ask the girls if we could talk to them? I want an update. Like, who's married? Who's not married? Who's doing what? What other careers did you go into? Are you just living off of old Barlow Girl money right now? You know, and like, was there enough of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you start, you know, podcasts or start Pinterest account? I don't know. You know, do you work as a lawyer for somebody?
What
I
have
no
idea.
I don't know. I don't know the answers. I'm waiting to hear back.
Oh.
And so I keep checking my phone like a 16-year-old girl waiting on a callback. And so I don't know
that
yet.
It's from one old man to another.
Yeah, yeah. I did learn that Alyssa and Lauren still live in Chicago and Rebecca's in California now. So the family's not completely all together. So life has taken Becca Barlow away. And so I'd like to know why. Maybe she married a military man and they live in San Diego. I'm going to make up a whole backstory for
her.
I don't know.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it could
run
be great.
With it.
Yeah. So hopefully we will do an interview with Barlow Girl. I really want to do that just to find out. Larry Stone sent us that email about where are they now? And it just sent me down this path that now I have to know.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it Barlow Girl who... did the hit Zach with bats.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could do that again, maybe.
That was one of our first times ever with them. And I forget the justification. I just knew I had a bat and I had a Zach. And I'm like, put those two things together. And the girls are so sweet. Like, they didn't want to hit him. I'm like, get in there. And then one of them was like, okay. And she ratcheted it up. I'm like, yes, ladies. The ladies of Barlow. Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to do it for your Aftercast today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.